Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Kickstart your adventure now with a new Gud golf cart from Country Carts of Brookhaven. Gud golf carts are assembled right here in Mississippi with the best features around. And best of all, they're street legal. Country Carts of Brookhaven, 401 Highway 51 South, phone 601-748-0454.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
But I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from the Super Talk Mississippi app, and you can always find us, too, on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And you can watch Good Things. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. And today, we're talking about the Starkville Derby Dash Hound Dash, and it is just around the corner, and it is the world's largest charity wiener dog race, and it does benefit the Okatibba County Humane Society, which is definitely a good thing. Alden, who created this, is joining us to tell us a little bit more. Hey, bud.
Hey, Rebecca. How you doing? Appreciate you having me on again this year.
I was gonna say,
hard to believe it's been a whole year.
Has it been like literally a year? What day was it last year?
I'll have to go back and check the calendar, but it's mighty close.
Did you think you were going to have a second annual Starkville Derby, or did you just know that this was going to be a big hit?
Oh, man, me and my team, we knew it was going to be a big hit. You see how much money we raised at shelter last year, how excited it made all the students, fans, alumni of MSU, Starkville area locals, people from all over the place. We had racers come in from as far as Ohio last year, and they're coming all over the place this year. I can already hear them barking their way down here, so.
Rhino told us it was May 6th last year, so you were 2 days away from it being dead on a year. But to the weekend, it's definitely going to be a year since you guys are doing this May 4th. Remind us, though, why you decided to do this a year ago. What inspired you to create a Dash Hound Dash there in Starkville Derby style?
So I got a correction. It is for all the dachshund fans here start calling in.
Gotcha.
Dachshund, yeah. German for badger dog, so fun fact there. But we had a spring festival that got moved to fall. We had a lot of baseball going on, but nothing outside of baseball for the spring. And I said, college towns are built on eclectic events like this. Why don't we have something that helps out the hospitality industry, our bars and restaurants, helps out local business, helps out our artisans, and, of course, helps our local shelter, the Okatibba County Humane Society. So I was actually sitting at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the Cotton District on the balcony looking down the street. I said, it'd be really funny to shut down the street and just let a bunch of weenie dogs run loose. That area is great. It's student housing above all the bars, patios, just a really great spot for a spring event. And from there, I woke up my wife one night when I couldn't sleep and said, hey, what do you think if we had a wiener dog race in the Cotton District? And thankfully, she puts up with me. So
now
we're here.
And it was a huge success. So what are we trying to beat last year? I know it doesn't matter. However much money is raised is greatly appreciated. But there's always that idea to, let's one-up it. So how much did the Derby bring in last year?
Last year, we had over 20,000.
Wow.
We're going to eclipse that. I mean, we are probably going to double that with – one issue last year was connectivity at the Derby. Thankfully, this year our friends at Ceasefire stepped up. They're going to have mobile cell boosters there for us. We're going to have a Venmo for the event, for the shelter, so that's going to help out with those donations too. And we've sold bleacher tickets that sold out in less than 15 minutes. Bank of Commerce, Wiener Circle VIP passes sold out in less than 20 minutes. So we've had a lot more outlets to get donations through and a ton more sponsors. So it's been a great it's been a great run-up to the Derby, for sure.
All right, and that's coming up May the 4th, and you guys put a special twin on May the 4th to be with you for this year's Derby, which is a lot of fun. So let's talk about what's coming up weekend after next.
Yeah, so obviously in the Cotton District, May 4th, event area is going to open up at 8 a.m. We have nearly 100 food and art vendors. The Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile is going to be there. We have bleachers. We have Jumbotrons. It'll also be streamed live on our page on Facebook. So if you search Starkville Derby, it'll say Docks and Dash. It has like 2,000 followers. Go to that. We have an ESPN South set up with Bart Heitch on the call. It's going to be great fun. If you come in person and want to dress up, do Derby attire, we'd love it. Reeds is actually going to be giving away a nice gift certificate and a trophy to somebody who has the best Derby outfit. If you got a dog that does a cool trick, get our link in our bios on Instagram and sign them up. They'll win a cash prize and a trophy. But, it's all to help out the shelter pets, all to help out local business. It's going to be a great time.
So who won last year?
Yeah, so our winners last year, funny enough, were both from Georgia, Dak and Cammy Jernigan. And they drove all the way over from Georgia. Their owners are MSU alums. We got a daughter that goes to state right now. And they won both the senior and the adult races. And since they won both those, they now have a puppy named Andouille, like Andouille Sausage, who's going to try to make it the trifecta for the Jernigan crew and see if they can win every category.
How far is the dash, Alden? How far do they have to run?
So they run 100 feet on our busty turf coat green carpet. It's the best pet turf you can find. Super nice. That crew from Memphis donated it to us. They're actually going to have a machine out there this year before the Derby. It's going to fluff it up, make it real nice and ready for the racers. And we're hopefully going to have one of the priests from St. Joseph's Catholic Church come out and bless the track before we get everybody running. But it's definitely the best. Like, I was very impressed with how nice the turf is. We everybody said like their dogs wanted to just run back onto it and have a good time. But hopefully this year we won't have anybody trying to mark their territory on the turf. We didn't have that problem last year, but with the event getting this much bigger, you never know.
Well, and it will be fine. I think dog parents understand that things like that just sort of happen, and you sort of figure it out, and you sort of roll with it, which is just nuts to me that this, again, so many times here on Good Things, we've had people who just had an idea, and then it just turns into this, you know, wonderful thing for their community that they could have never, you know, dreamt or imagined. Here you are in your second year, fisting to hopefully top out your 20K from last year for the local Humane Society, and I just think it's so neat. And I think it's so cool, too, I guess it's a poster, or is it going to be the T-shirt this year that is sort of inspired by Star Wars. We've got it up at Super Talk TV. I found it on your Facebook page there, Alden. So Strikes Back?
Yep. Star Weens, the Derby Strikes Back. So it's our second year and we landed on May 4th. We said what better T-shirt theme? But we also have some great Mississippi State style T-shirts for sale too. We're going to have a walk-in weenie shirt that's like everybody's favorite bulldog, and we have a cursive wings logo shirt that everybody seems to like. But each shirt benefits the shelter, so you can go on there, you can order them, they ship, you can pick up. We appreciate everybody. We appreciate you guys.
Where do you order the shirts, Alden? Are they on the –
Yeah, they're on our Facebook page.
Okay,
So just go to Starkville Derby. It's like Starville Derby, Docks and Dash. You'll see the logo is like Star Weens. And just go there. That's also the same page. If you can't make it in person, you can watch the live stream. And, Rebecca, when I tell you, it's a crazy live stream. It's like ESPN. We got a multiple camera set up. We got a trackside reporter. It'll blow you away. But if you're in town, you're more than welcome to stop by the you and Rhino are more than welcome to stop by the Bank of Commerce, Wiener Circle VIP tent, and have a mutt julep or a weenie Rita with us.
Alden, I love it. This is so much fun. I can see why Starkville has embraced this, and everybody's just getting excited. You can't not smile thinking about the Starkville Derby, the Docks and Dash, and trying to be part of it. Do you think people have been getting their dogs like ready this year, like to come back? Do you think they've been training?
Rebecca, if you go, I'll actually post some training videos later. I've gotten clips of people setting up tracks in their backyard, training the dogs, getting them ready. Had a dog on a treadmill trotting, getting ready. It's been quite amazing seeing all our racers get excited and get ready to bring home the Tito's Top Dog Golden Wing statue.
When will y'all kick off on Saturday, May the 4th?
So 8 a.m., that's when the whole event area will open up, the Wienermobile, all our art and food vendors. The bar should be opening up around 9. If you didn't buy a bleacher ticket already, don't worry. You can still come. We have general admission, standing room areas all over the place where you can still see the race and festivities and track. The Jumbotrons will be there. We have a Chick-fil-A kid zone that has 4 inflatables. It has some face painters and a balloon artist doing wiener dog balloon art. So, you know,
thought of it all.
Yeah.
All right.
So
where
we
do
got
we,
it all.
Got it all. Remind us one more time that Facebook page.
Yeah, Starkville Derby, : Dachshund Dash. You'll see us. We're the top result. Has like 2,000-something followers. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter. We're at Starkville Derby on all that.
All righty.
D-E-R-B-Y.
Well, I look forward to having you back for the 3rd annual next year, Alden, and best of luck to all the racers.
I appreciate it, Rebecca. Thank you, Super Talk. Thank you, everybody.
All righty, you guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
For all your
making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
I want to follow where she goes. I think about her and she knows it. I want to let it take control.
Welcome back to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. You can always find us, too, on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV, and we say it all the time, too. If you're looking for some fun conversation, lighthearted topics and headlines, then the Good Things Facebook group is the place to be. If you're on the Book of Faces, just go to the search bar, type in Good Things with Rebecca Turner pops up, and then you click join. Rhino or myself will let you in with our ever-growing family there. And Rhino decided to celebrate one of the national days today, National Jelly Bean Day, asking you, what is your favorite flavor of jelly beans? Number one, are you pro-jelly bean or not? And then what is your least favorite? And I felt like this national day at first, Rhino, was kind of off because it's usually jelly beans gets its like real big push during Easter, but I'm reminded how early Easter was this year. So, like, if you look at your Facebook memories, you've probably seen, even in the last couple of days, some throwbacks the last couple of years to Easter's being, like, this much later in April. So we just had a super early one, which made me feel a little bit better about them choosing April the 22nd for Jelly Bean Day, because even though you can enjoy jelly beans all year, and some do, it feels like Easter kind of took heart on like the jelly bean celebration in that.
I feel like you can enjoy jelly beans year round, but Easter is when you're least likely to enjoy them because you're going to get those little bitty fun size packs of the cheapest possible jelly bean known to man, where they're different colors, but it'd be really difficult to differentiate the flavors.
That's fair. That is fair. But they do make bunnies now that you wind up and they hop and they poop out the little jelly beans. And that is a huge hit for celebrating the resurrection of our Savior Christ. So, you know, but they are in the rest of the year. So I'm hearing you say that you like jelly, but you like the good jelly beans.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a soft spot for the Jelly Belly jelly beans.
So where did that come from?
It came from taking trips as a young man to the mall in Tupelo, the mall at Barnes Crossing, and they had a little kiosk right out of the food court. So if you're going there with a group, like a the youth group or the daycare or your friend group or whatever, you're more than likely going to go to the food court there because you got the food court, the movie theater, the arcade, everything's right there. So if you're in the food court, you just go right there and take a right, and there's a little kiosk that had every possible flavor of Jelly Belly.
And you got to...
Oh, yeah, we would go there and just mix and match and have all kind of fun times.
So...
And this was way before you had the Harry Potter funky jelly beans where they're flavored stuff you never wanted to eat in the first place.
So a normal Jelly Belly jelly bean, like if you took like the tip of your pinky, is that about the size? Like you're talking about a big jelly bean, right?
Jelly Bellies, I've never considered them big jelly beans. I think of like the El Cheapo Easter ones as being the big jelly beans,
okay.
Like the Brock's jelly beans.
Gotcha.
Brock's jelly bean eggs are going to be the big ones.
So what was your favorite flavor?
I was always kind of partial to the toasted marshmallow, although buttered popcorn was oddly tasty too. I couldn't quite wrap my head around the fact that a jelly bean tasted like buttered popcorn, but it did, and I liked it. But not as much as the toasted marshmallow.
David in West Point said bought many a jelly bean there, Rhino. So a lot of folks remember that. You know, I don't remember having one of those. It's more, but it reminds me of like the popcorn place that you can go in and have all the different flavors of popcorn. But I do think most of us have like candy store memories where you would walk in and sort of that same mentality. But it sounds amazing. Like, I mean, I could sit and eat or wait in the cheap or the good jelly beans and all of the above. Are you a licorice fan or not if you got the little black jelly bean?
I'm conflicted on this because I was an adult when I found out that Red Vines and Twizzlers Pull and Peel and all that are considered licorice, but they're red licorice. I like red licorice. I'm okay with that, unless you get off into the Swedish Fish because those are just a little funky, and they're a terrible Oreo filling. Don't ever eat the Swedish Fish Oreos.
I didn't even know that was an option.
They're awful. They are just the worst Oreo ever made.
I can imagine.
And I don't like mint anything, and I'd rather eat a mint Oreo than one of those. But anyways, but black licorice, not the biggest fan of it. And that seems to be the licorice you get in jelly beans. So I don't care for licorice jelly beans.
America's favorite flavors of Jelly Bellies. Number one is Very Cherry. You remember that one? Number two
is the really bright red one, kind of pinkish.
Buttered popcorn.
Heck yeah.
Number three is the licorice, but I think that's just because folks like to be odd. Juicy pear is number four.
I would have never guessed that in a million years.
Sizzling cinnamon.
Well, that's like a chewy red hot, yeah.
Is that one. That's not my favorite. I don't mind getting it. I like anything tropical. So that's going to be like mine. I probably did like the Very Cherry, too. I don't know their names as well as you do. I will eat a licorice, but it's going to be the last one. Like, I don't like grabbing a handful of jelly beans. Like, I will pick out the licorice ones.
Whereas I will avoid a dark purple jelly bean. Even if it's going to be grape flavored, that's too close to licorice. I don't want to chance it.
Darren and Jackson says, I love Scott's. I think I'm saying that right. My son, 1 year ago, got me a treat kit with infused caramels, cake, and box of jelly beans. So you love Scotch, the drink. I was thinking it was the name brand. Forgive me. Now I see where you're going. They are amazing, or they were amazing. Doesn't sound like you've got any of those left over. Those are the best gifts when you don't know what to get dad, mom, or whoever, but you know they enjoy something like that, and it can be this unique sort of special treat. I think that's super cool.
Well, the other thing is, if you have a kiosk or a candy store or something like that, it wasn't even necessarily the variety of flavors, although looking back on it, that kind of pulled me in. It was the fact that I got to go up there and choose. You had a say-so in what you got, and it was a la carte. It was, if you wanted a whole bag of mango-flavored Jelly Bellies, you could get a whole bag of them. Or if you wanted to mix and match with five colors and flavors you really liked, you could do that. It was the choice that made it awesome.
There's over 100 flavors now of Jelly Bellies.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Yeah. The original were the Very Cherry, Tangerine, Lemon, Green Apple, Grape, Licorice, Root Beer, and Cream Soda. How do you tell those two apart?
Root Beer and Cream Soda?
I mean, I know, but do you? Like, I guess it'd be blind taste.
Root Beer's got a little bit more bite to it than a cream soda would.
Is it the Jelly Belly brand that also branches out to the weird when it gets to, like, Thanksgiving and does the weird?
No, that's Brock's, I think.
Okay.
I think they're the ones that have the Thanksgiving-flavored candy corn and jelly beans.
Have you ever, I know at one time when they first came out here on Good Things around Thanksgiving, you and I said we needed to do like a taste test, blind, whatever. That actually, not that it scares me as in I'm going to have any some kind of like visceral reaction to throw up anywhere, but like I don't want to. Like I don't want to know what turkey and stuffing tastes like in a jelly beany kind of
I would
texture.
Almost be willing to bet it's better than black licorice.
Maybe. I get gravy wouldn't be so bad. But, like, there's other things. Like, I don't want to taste chewy turkey.
Well, now that makes me want to ask the question, if you could choose any flavor to make into a jelly bean, what would you want it to be?
Like, any flavor?
Any flavor.
Well, I like all the tropicals. They make me very happy. So, even the cherry, too.
So, you want a Hawaiian punch?
I was going to say, like, a Hawaiian bean. Yeah. That would be really nice.
I could get behind that.
I was going to say all the fruit flavors, but then you threw cantaloupe under the bus. And so I don't care
for cantaloupe in any form or fashion.
So is there a cantaloupe jelly belly?
Oh, yeah. And it's that ugly color orange, too.
See, I didn't know it necessarily had a name. I like the pink, the red. I mean, I like the fruity ones. Those are going to be the ones that I sort of lean to. I probably wouldn't like the root beer, licorice, cream soda. That kind of stuff wouldn't necessarily be wouldn't be my jam, but I can't think of like a normal food that I would want to be turned into a jelly belly. I think all of those are just for, and don't they have others? And I know that may not be a jelly belly, but again, jelly bean that are meant to be gross. Like I know,
I think they started off as the Harry Potter's Birdie Bots flavored beans, and then. I don't know if they still have the license for that or if they decided to go a different route because they have Bean Boozled, which is the same concept where you'll have, and if you're easily grossed out, forgive me, but you'll have an earwax flavored jelly bean right next to a green apple flavored jelly bean, and they look the exact same. And the Bean Boozled part is you got to eat it to know what it tastes like.
Darren and Jackson mentions, too, that Ronald Reagan's favorite treat were jelly beans. He kept a jar of jelly bellies on his desk in the Oval Office. You know you get better work done when you're like, come on in, let's talk politics. Grab a handful of jelly beans and let's talk. It's like the commercial with the gummy bears, and it's the grown-ups in their suits, and then they turn
and fly it into my mouth.
It kind of just takes you back. You can't be overly serious when you're eating a handful of jelly beans, so that's a good thing to do. All right, stick with us. We got some good headlines for you up next.
Rebecca Turner. She looks healthy and sane. Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. Hope you've downloaded that. You can always find us on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. Don't forget to watch us. We are on Supertalk TV, found on your computer or your mobile device. It's not just Jelly Bean Day, it's also Earth Day. So we're going to celebrate Happy Earth Day with Keep Columbus Beautiful. They're an affiliate of Keep Mississippi Beautiful, which is an affiliate of Keep America Beautiful. We're just going to keep everybody beautiful, Nicole. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I know you guys have been super busy in Columbus. I'm very impressed by your Facebook page and all the neat things that y'all have been up to today to celebrate Earth Day. So give us a little rundown. What you guys been doing in Columbus?
Oh, gosh. And I do have to catch my breath because I literally just got back in from Fairview Elementary. So all around the city today are members of our Keep Columbus Beautiful chapter, along with other city officials and representatives from the fire department and police department and all across our city have been coming together, going out just to have a great time with our kids in our school district, our second graders in particular. And our message has really been to them to just inspire them to be better take caretakers of our earth, and just to, you know, give them a little bit of information, of course, in a fun way, to encourage them to be responsible about litter control, to, you know, opt for paper over plastic, and just to, you know, get their ideas on how we can make our earth better and how we can make our city more beautiful. And it's been a really, really fun day. We did get a chance to give out free books to all of our kids. It was a book that was donated from one of our local bookstores called Lookout for Litter. So they all got that, and we just brought this whole pirate energy about pirating against litter in our world to their front door at the school districts today. And so we've been really, really busy, but it's been fun.
I am looking at some of the videos streaming through those, Nicole, on y'all's Facebook page, and let me tell you, I wish I could have been there for the pirate talk, because you guys look like you were having such a good time.
Oh, gosh, we had a great time. Of course, kids are always the best audience because they're so full of energy. They're inquisitive, but believe it or not, they all really already get the concepts of how we can make our world better. What happens is, obviously, they get older and bad habits start to set in, but genuinely, they understand it, and they embrace it, and they have a great time, you know, just kind of giving us good energy, and, you know, we feed off of them. So, yeah, it's been really, really fun all throughout the city, starting at 8:30 this morning, and our last group just finished, as I said, this afternoon, about 2 o'clock.
You think about litter, and, well, when you think about Earth Day, Nicole, it feels very overwhelming. It's like the whole earth, right, you know, is in right. His hands, not our hands, but the litter is. And so that is something everyone listening to Good Things could take away today, of just making sure that you leave it the way you found it. And if you see some litter, then be the bigger person, even if you didn't leave it, and just pick up the can or throw the trash sort of away if it's, you know, very convenient for you. And each little bit really does add up for if everybody was to do that.
It really does. I mean, Earth Day doesn't have to be complicated. It's supposed to be light and fun. It's supposed to remind us that we are, you know, responsible for this world, the condition that it's in. But it does just kind of take the little things that we can do every day, just not throwing paper down, trash down. If you see something, pick it up. If you can use, you know, recycle your plastic, you know, reuse your water bottles. Those little things that we just kind of take for granted sometimes are just, they make a huge difference in the world. So, yeah, it doesn't take a whole lot. You don't have to be an, you know, ecologist or a scientist to make the world better. Just do your part wherever you are.
Do your part wherever you are. And you guys are doing y'all's part in Columbus with Keep Columbus Beautiful. It is an affiliate, Nicole, of Keep Mississippi Beautiful. What's that overarching sort of, you know, mission of Keep Columbus Beautiful on a daily basis, maybe not just Earth Day?
Well, and so on behalf of our chapter president, Lakeisha Bailey, who wasn't able to make it on today, but I want to shout her out because she's doing a great job of leading our efforts. Really, it's just as simple as what it says. Keep Columbus beautiful. We do things like landscaping projects. We make sure that our, you know, our roadways and all that are kept clean. You know, we're into doing things like, you know, just really, we do yards a month, you know, encouraging neighbors to take pride in their yards. So all those little things we're also into deep things like setting policy and trying to pass, you know, regulations that help to control some of the waste and the decay that we see sometimes in our cities. But, you know, every day, every opportunity we get to just beautify our city is what our mission is, and to spread that to the rest of the community so that it just kind of takes, you know, takes off like wildfire.
And you see, when you give communities the opportunity to give their older, you know, places maybe a little facelift or to take care of it in terms of the trash and litter, you see a little bit more pride kind of spread throughout the city as well when people all do it together. Do y'all find that in Columbus?
Absolutely. And so we partner with other organizations. We, you know, we go out into the community, you know, to spread, you know, give information and all that. But it really is just about restoring and instilling pride in our city, and the way that it looks is truly dependent upon how much time and energy we put into making it a better place to be. I was telling our kids that today, and I, you know, I asked them, I said, how many of you think Columbus is already beautiful? Most of them raised their hand, because in their little minds, it is a beautiful place. What we want to do is get that same message across to adults that, hey, this is a beautiful city. What can we do to make it even more beautiful? And that's really what we're all about.
And to keep Columbus beautiful as well as keep Mississippi beautiful, I know there's a lot of chapters throughout our state. Different cities have their own keep whomever, you know, sort of beautiful. And it runs off hardworking volunteers. So, Nicole, you know, what led you to keep Columbus beautiful? What inspired you to get involved?
Well, so this is just something that I'm already passionate about. You know, I'm sort of the paper lady around town, just picking up, you know, and taking on personal projects myself. But this particular chapter had kind of gone dormant for a little while, and there was a shared energy among many of us who were doing little things in our own little silos to come together. And we were like, well, this chapter already exists. Let's just reorganize this chapter. And so we did that. Over the last couple of years, we've been working to build up steam, and we're now really just kind of solidified. In fact, one of our members who was our chapter president, Sasha James, who's also our city code enforcement officer, she has recently just attended one of the regional meetings of other KEEP cities beautiful, like Starkville and others. And so we collaborate, we pass around ideas, you know, we share resources, like we're partnering with West Point on Hazardous Waste Day. And so it's really just about our entire, making this whole world a better place and starting with our cities and pouring over to our state and then, of course, you know, beyond that. So it's just it's a personal passion of mine. And I just want everybody to, you know, to feel good about where we live and to take some pride in it.
And to get out and get involved, you don't necessarily have to be involved in your Keep a City Beautiful or Keep Mississippi Beautiful. We could say that if you're your local affiliate. But you could, and if you wonder if your city has one, where do they find, like, Keep Columbus Beautiful? I found you guys on Facebook and all the
good. I was just going to say, I could give you a whole bunch of numbers and email addresses, but go to Facebook and just look up, just literally search for Keep Columbus Beautiful. We've got a brand new presence on Facebook. It's making it, you know, it's kind of, you know, making its way around, circulating. So if you're interested in what we're doing, what our events are, and maybe some tips and things on what you can do from your own front door, look us up on Facebook and just kind of follow our activity there.
And what book did you guys read today to all the kids in terms of litter? Because they're taking a pirate sort of mentality. I loved it. The videos look great.
Yeah, so this book was Trina the Litter Pirate, and it was called Look Out for Litter. And it's literally available on Amazon, but one of our local bookstores provided free books for all of our second graders throughout the city, and it was just the best. So, it's, you know, you can find it on Amazon. Look Out for Litter is the name of that book.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time today, Nicole. I know you can go take an actual breath now. You stepped in at the very last minute, and I appreciate that. And we will be keeping eyes on what y'all are doing. Yeah.
It's my pleasure. Earth Day is one of my favorite days of the year. It literally is. So it's a lot of fun, like I said, and I'm glad to be able to, you know, kind of help share that good news.
Well, happy Earth Day to you, Nicole.
Thanks so much. Have a great one.
You too. Look out for litter. I love that, being a little pirate on the litter. I mean, we can all do our part. I know we've talked about that a lot here on Good Things. It's the simple as just, you know, leave somewhere the way you found it, particularly if it was clean. If you've got kids who are taking, you know, like a little lunch or whatever, just teaching them to put their trash back in their lunchbox if there's not a trash can nearby. If there is a trash can, use it. Look at that. Look how easy that is. I do feel like probably the majority who listen to Good Things, you guys are not necessarily litter bugs.
And close doesn't count when it comes to a trash can.
This is very true. And to
if you miss, bend over, pick it up, put it in.
And put it in. Not that big a deal. And I will say, and I don't think many with truck beds do it intentionally. I know you don't. You're not those type of people. But just checking, you know, when you stop and get gas, and that's when you clean out all the trash out of your car, because that's when I do it. If you've got an open bed, just peek over. If you got little bottles or whatever that may have been thrown in there from y'all's work day or whatever, go ahead and put those in the trash there at the gas station, too. That way they don't flip and fly and do all the things in the places they weren't supposed to. But we only got one Earth, so we ought to do our part to keep her pretty and beautiful. But stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
I'm
upbeat, positive, and stories that make you smile. This is Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from the Supertalk Mississippi app, always on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And, of course, you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And if Earth Day is not your thing, then maybe Jelly Bean Day is. Jeff and Pontotoc said it's combining the flavors of the Jelly Bellies that makes them special and fun. So, Rhino, this is like your favorite sort of childhood treat, or one of your favorite childhood treats is Jelly Bellies. Did you ever just take the handful and go all in, or was it you picked out your favorite and enjoyed them jelly bean by jelly bean?
It depends. If I had a hankering on a certain trip to the mall for one particular flavor, I'd get a little small bag of that flavor and just handful it at a time. But there are, I would venture to say, thousands of different flavor variations you can put together how many different flavors they got. Like, I want to say, I can't remember what the base was, but there was one combination. It was three or four different Jelly Bellies that you could take a handful of and put them in your mouth, and it tasted like you were eating blueberry pancakes.
Oh, wow. Somebody went to great lengths to sort of figure all of that out. Dan in Hattiesburg, though, shared that toothpaste Jelly Belly is actually not bad. I'm going to leave that to you, Dan. I'm not going to just go eat a handful of them.
Sure, it's pretty minty.
Some of them, I'm sure, are different. And they have, you have your favorites and then not. I love the fact that they kind of became popular during, you ready for Jeff? The Civil War? Because they were encouraged to send for the troops. They were the first candy sold by the pounds, and then you could send them as like an easy treat to keep the energy up, all that kind of thing. And I was watching something.
Yeah, they wouldn't spoil on you.
And gosh, I mean, if I was in a trench trying to stay alive, I'd probably want some candy, some candy too. So you can imagine it just brought a little joy to soldiers' faces as well. But there was a lot of things like that that kind of got popular, particularly candies. I was watching Food That Built America last night. Love that show if you've never watched it, if you're kind of just into why we eat the way we do, or just the brands, not so much the what we eat. But anyway, and it was M&M's. And so M&M's got very popular. That was World War II, though.
Yeah.
And when...
Because they came in the MREs.
They came in the MREs because they wouldn't melt. And so they
were... The candy coating helped them transport.
And they had... Hershey's had a bar prior to that, before M&M's came through and got that government contract. And because it had to have to stand up to like the travel, it had to have so many calories, had to do everything else, it was terrible. He said they had to take it and like take their knives and get a little off to be able to eat it. And they had a jokingly, I forgot now. It was like they called it like Hitler's bar or like something, because they hated it. It was just nasty, but they had to eat it. A secret weapon. I think that's what it was. Hitler's secret weapon or something like that. That they were all going to die from like having to eat that crap. And so that's when you can imagine if you had something that terrible and then something like M&M's comes in and swoops in. You're like, this is the best thing ever. Which is interesting too, because I think it's Mars was the name of the food company. When the war was over, it's like their government contract ended and the sales of M&M's plummeted. And that's when you have the iconic melts in your mouth, not in your hands, because it was mainly children who wanted M&M's, but you had to appeal to the 1950s family. And that 1950s family, 2024 family, you tell me I can give my kid candy that's not going to get all over everything else. Then, you know, but that was the first like real like push in terms of advertising to children, which may have spiraled in the wrong direction for food company, over the last 70 years, but I digress. But still, it's fascinating how, you know, just a product can sort of shift just because of a good campaign or just because of a good slogan can save something that you can't imagine, like, American candy aisles without M&M's. Like, it would be hard to sort of wrap your brain around it, in my opinion.
Yeah, because the only thing that's even remotely close to them, I'm drawing a blank. It's not Chiclets. Those are the little gummy things. But what are, and Smarties are the little tablet-looking chalky sweet things. What are the little things that come in a tube that they aren't oblong like an M&M? They're round like balls, but they're candy-coated chocolate.
Oh.
Used to get those all the time trick-or-treating. Can't remember the name of them to save my life.
I can see. Is it
That's what I was thinking. Somebody, but chiclet came to mind,
chiclet,
and that's gum.
But they're small. They're somebody screaming it at us. We can't hear you. Text it in 601-879-4395. But I can see it.
Sixlets.
Yes, I was like, it's there. Like, it's lits, like a lit, yeah. Like because they're little, sort of in that way.
So without M&Ms, would sixlets have taken over the world?
I don't know, but I do know they wanted to call Starburst in the beginning M&M Sweet Chews was the first name for Starburst, and it bombed, as you can imagine.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't stay up long enough to figure out how they got to Starburst, but stick with us. We got more for you coming up next. You got the Boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I will meet you back here tomorrow at 2, but until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.